Well, it's already day five, and we've moved on. We're on to our last day of discussion, and hopefully it's been a good week for everybody. So, been a lot of good ideas brought up, a lot of good things to Bible mark, a lot of good lessons to take home. Where are we today? Well, I'll try to get it right today. Yesterday messed up by 3 hours, so not too bad, but 3 hours, three important hours. So, where are we? For the death and burial, where does this section start? I got fooled by the title. Where do we start today? Noon, right? So we're going to start at noon, and we're going to work from noon all the way through till his actual burial, which is probably just before 6 p.m. They wanted to get him buried by 6 p.m. so everything would be done before their day would begin, at which they would take the Passover. So the goal was to get him in the ground before 6 p.m. The red line up there would be 6 p.m., and noon is back there at the dark line where it starts. So that allows us then today to talk about the 3 hours when the darkness came and then actually discuss his burial itself. That's basically what you're doing. So where are we on the map then? We're getting down to where we've pretty well gone through this whole pathway right here. So Pilate has sent him out now to be crucified. We left him yesterday where he was crucified over here. And then the tombs, they think, are just somewhere really close to that period there. So it really isn't that far away. So really, today you're just on the north west side of the city up in there, very close to this road to Emmaus up in here. And that's where everything will take place. So you start looking at, all right, what are the things that we can discuss today? I think you can at least look at, you know, what impact did the 3 hours of darkness have on Jesus, the thieves, the people, the weather. In your book, they even considered the weather. I've really never even thought about that before, but it is true. You know what it's like in the afternoon here when the sun's out and it gets pretty dark and it gets pretty hot in the afternoon, the sun's beating on you. I hadn't really considered the idea that the darkness would actually have been a relief for all of them that were crucified. You can also look at with the people right there, certainly include the centurion, because you can see what happened with the centurion as he's watching all these things take place. I think a good discussion today is to really look at this idea, is darkness positive or negative? Because you can go to places in the Bible where darkness is negative. It certainly was to the Egyptians, but to the Israelites, the darkness was a positive thing, that those guys were in the darkness. And it does allow sometimes for things to happen in darkness that otherwise would not occur. Significance of the tearing of the veil, I think that we just read in the reading, that's an interesting one to discuss. You know, why did God do that? There's four things that it specifically mentions when Jesus died: the tearing of the veil in the temple, the rocks splitting, the earth quaking, and the graves open. That'll be an interesting one to discuss, because the graves were open and people were raised from the dead, but when did they come out? When did they come out? After his resurrection. So that's one that's always puzzled me, that it would mention it right now, but it talks about the graves being open, but people actually didn't come out until his resurrection. So that's an interesting one. Is it okay to discuss that one today, since it was in the reading, even though it's actually about his resurrection? So timeline-wise, we're moving forward. All right, what impact did Christ's crucifixion have on Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus? I think you could throw in the centurion there and as other people. You might discuss, like, did the actual crucifixion actually help to convince some people that Jesus really was the Son of God, that he was the Christ? And we can also look at what did Christ's crucifixion accomplish for God, for Jesus, and for all of us? And I think it's good to at least note there, how did it alter the law of sin and death? What impact did it have on the law of Moses? What's the meaning of the water and the blood? We spent some time in the workbook on that, looking at the water and the blood. And if you want to throw in the hyssop there too, that's fine. Those are all things that are worth doing. I think in terms of like the whole overall picture, I think you can see, as we've been looking at in the evenings, why is reality more important than ritual? This was not a ritual. This was the real thing that God had wanted for 4,000 years. And why does God then ask us to go through the rituals? What's the point for us of going through the rituals if the reality is really the thing which saves us? And how do we end up looking beyond the rituals to see the real issues and then implement them in our lives? You've talked about all this week the real destruction of the devil. And now for the rest of your life, what you will be doing is things like baptism, and you'll be looking at things like the bread and the wine, which are really just ritual reminders of this specific event. The impact Jesus had on the thieves, I think I threw that one in yesterday. That was my mistake, because really this would probably be in this class today. You can start looking at the thieves and the discussion that he had with the thieves. I think it was also interesting yesterday that Joanne brought up the sayings of Jesus on the cross. Those are fun to look at as well. There's only a few words recorded about what Jesus actually said on the cross. So you might want to spend some time at least looking at, well, what were those things and why were they given? You know, there's seven of them. There's only seven sayings from the cross. And they must all have a significance. These were major things that were happening that they bothered recording them. Thy will be done. I think the section today, probably the second section today that you're going to do, I think for most of your group leaders, is probably going to be looking at that whole concept of thy will be done. And so you can do that in the second section. What does that mean in our lives today, in our families, our ecclesias, and at our jobs? I think we might also throw in today an interesting discussion in our community today to look at. After all the things that Christ did for us, how do we thank him today? As Christadelphians, we have in trying to get away from the churches and not in any way, you know, hold Jesus out to be the co-equal God and all those kind of things, it's almost like we put Jesus into the corner and, like, what does he do? You know, all the angels of God worship him. God has given him the kingdom at this point. And look at what he did for us. There must be a mechanism for which we can thank Jesus Christ for what he has done for us. And it's probably a time in our community where maybe we could swing it back a bit and actually acknowledge Jesus Christ. Because I think sometimes outsiders come to our meetings and wonder whether we even realize Jesus exists, because we hardly ever talk about the work he is doing today and what he has accomplished for us. We thank God, we praise God, and God should be the one that we praise and thank. He is the primary mover in all of this. But there must be a mechanism in there somewhere to where we, in our prayers, we can thank Jesus Christ for what he has done for us. And it would be an interesting thing to discuss in the class today, because you look at all the stuff he went through on our behalf. Anyways, those are all some good things we can learn about. I think you can also today, you may never even think about this, but how did Christ's death and resurrection affect the angels? And we don't even usually look at it from their perspective, but here the angels worked for 4,000 years to save somebody from this race. 4,000 years they tried to get somebody to come down off the hill and defeat Goliath, and nobody would come. Nobody could come. And finally, these are the things which angels long to look into, and finally they realized how it was actually going to take place. And because of what they have done, these spirit beings, they worked to save a man who would now be elevated above them. What a contrast to the religious leaders of the day who couldn't stand the fact that this man may take away our place in our nation. You know, whereas the angels, God's messengers, his servants, his family members, they don't have any problem with working with somebody, saving that person who will then in the end be above them. What a contrast to the leaders of the day. And definitely, that is the spirit of the angels, that they work so hard to save people. You know, that's certainly something we can learn today about service. I really think we can learn a lot from the angels. So hopefully you'll have good discussion this morning and enjoy it. It's your last one. But good stuff in this section today. Have fun.